For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, July the 6th, 1990. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the teacher of the afternoon.
The great day of the Lord is near. Verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. He wants to emphasize this. This is very near and hasteth greatly. Have you ever felt like the days are just whirling and whirling by fast? You know why? Birth pains have begun. For the great day of the Lord is approaching. Even the voice of the day of the Lord. I'm telling you, I think in the last five years, we've heard the voice of the Lord in our meetings more than I've heard since 1932 when we came into the Assemblies of God. Our whole family was saved. But the voice of the Lord is coming forth, and the trumpets are coming forth. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath. Well, we don't like to think about the wrath of God, do we? But the Bible teaches that there's going to be the wrath of God fall on the wicked. And we don't want any wickedness in us. A day of trouble? Well, there's trouble on every side. We've had more trouble this week with air conditioning and things around this place than we've had in 10 years. I tell you, it was so hot the first of the week and those air conditioners weren't running. But isn't it wonderful now that they're running? Praise God. Days of trouble, distress, a day of waste and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. If you don't think it's dark out there in the world, I'm telling you, it is so dark, it's coming upon the world, it's the darkness, but we have the light in here, don't we? Where is the light? It's within us. That's what he was singing about, the light of the Lord within us. And the more of Jesus we get in us, and the less of the enemy that we have in us, the more the Lord is going to shine forth through us, because we will be pleasing in his sight. A day of the trumpet. I think Brother Tommy is a trumpet. Don't you? Brother Harris is a trumpet. Brother Moody's a trumpet. Lots of trumpets against defense cities and against the high towers. The Lord says, I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. You know, people, they have, there's so much money. In this town, there's so much money from retired people. Lots of big names live here. Maybe just during the race season they come. All kinds of money in the world today. All kinds of millionaires in the world today. And billionaires. And they talk in billions. They don't talk in dollars anymore. It's billions of dollars. Millions of dollars. But how much good is that silver and gold going to do them? It's not going to do them any good. It's not going to be able to deliver them. It can't even heal them. They can have the finest doctors in the world, but money will not do it. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. This is the great day of the Lord. And just go back to the sixth verse. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. You know, there's a lot of backslidden Pentecostals. There's all kinds of backslidden Pentecostals. And we need to pray for them. We really need to pray for them. They have not known why they couldn't live for the Lord. They have not been taught from the pulpit that they have an enemy. They have no idea it's the devil. I'm telling you, I grew up, my dad was an Assembly of God preacher, and I listened to him preach day in and day out, week in and week out. Heard the best preachers in the land. We were under Dr. Price's ministry, and we were under Amy McPherson's ministry, and we were in under Raymond T. Ritchie's ministry, all the fine ministries. But I had no idea that I had an enemy in my soul, that I had an enemy. I didn't even know. The only thing I knew about the devil, my dad preached about the devil now and then. He said he was in the dance hall and in the movies. And he got that prodded into my mind plenty strong, because I still don't care for movies. And I still don't care for dance halls unless it's in here. When we're dancing before the Lord. And that was plenty hard for me. Oh, it was plenty hard for me, because I was taught against it so much that it was the devil. But I never knew that the devil could be in a Christian. I used to wonder about some things, but I never knew. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. We are his guests today, aren't we? You believe we're his guests? Praise God. Now let's turn over to the third chapter and see about something. How many want to be in the remnant? How many believe he's got a remnant? He's preparing this remnant right now. The 13th verse of the third chapter of Zephaniah. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. You say, well, that's Israel. Well, you know, Israel was God's people. We are God's people. So this is just as much for us today as it was back there when Zephaniah was prophesying this. In the Old Testament, they were called Israel, God's people. In the New Testament, we're called what? Christians. We're called Christians, but we're still part of the Israel of God. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. That's when we know better and we just do it anyway. When we know to do good and we do evil. When we know to read our Bibles and we read something else, that's iniquity. When we disobey the laws of the land, that's iniquity. But the remnant's not going to have, they can't be doing that, can they, Brother Jack? No. Nor speak lies. We don't need any lying people in the remnant, do we? How many believe that sometimes the truth is stretched? Our tongues deceive us. You know, these evangelistically speaking, somebody was talking about that yesterday. We have to be careful about that, because that's not going to get in the remnant. It can't be. If Satan can find one little thing in us, he's going to attack that. He will hit us and strike us with darts, and that could be a door opener for him to come in many, many ways. So we have to be very careful. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. I looked up the word deceit. It means fraud. How many know there's a lot of fraud in the body of Christ? I learned that so well when we had our printing and typing business in California, when our secretary would say, I wish you'd quit doing work for those Christians. I have to keep billing them and billing them and billing them. They don't want to pay. Now, isn't that a terrible testimony? She was a Baptist. She got tired of us doing work and not getting paid for it. It means to misrepresent something, to double deal. There's a lot of double dealers in the body of Christ. Sham. And there's a lot of con men. We've had some con men go through here, and I'm telling you, it would just startle us. We could hardly believe it. They would come through and get their dirty work done and then go. And we would be sitting here trying to pick up the pieces of the things that they have done. If there's anything I hate is people prophesying over people for money. I think that is the most deceitful thing in the body of Christ. And there was a minister came through here. He was a good minister. Supposed to be spirit-filled. I think there was a few other kind of spirits in there besides the Holy Spirit. And we had no idea. You know, these people go around and give these preachers, go around and get addresses from everybody, and pretty soon they're writing them a letter or something. Well, he went to a lady, a widow lady. They seemed to know just exactly where to go and who to beguile. He went to this widow lady, and he prophesied over her at her house. Now, if he had prophesied that in here, in the house of the Lord, the people would have judged it. He did it over there by herself. He told her if she would give him $5,000 to buy a tent, she would get all of the reward in heaven for everybody that ever got saved in that tent. And what did she do? See, that mind control was working in him over her. She whisked out her checkbook and she wrote him a check for $5,000. Well, that wasn't enough. He thought, well, I've really got her opened up here now. Then he told her, if you'll give me your grand piano for the tent, then you're going to get a double portion of all the rewards. So she gave him the grand piano. Then what else? There was one other thing he wanted, and she gave him. She put all this down on her income tax. We knew nothing about it. She came here to church, never said a word, and till the income tax papers were filed, and the IRS stopped, pulled it out and asked her for an explanation. He didn't have a nonprofit corporation number. He didn't have any federal number of any kind, and they threw it all out, and she had to pay a lot of taxes. That woman went to her grave being bitter. She was young, a young widow. She wasn't near as old as I was at the time, but she went to her grave because of that man's deceit. Now, those things cannot be in the remnant. I mean, it shouldn't be in the body of Christ, should it? And none of you ladies, please don't be beguiled by somebody prophesying over you. We've had a lot of that from time to time here when we first started. You know, you want to trust everybody, you want to believe everybody, and everybody comes in. And one day, a businessman that we knew from Oregon, he came here and he said, I want to send an airplane ticket for this girl that is a prophetess. Oh, she is a marvelous prophetess. So he was putting out the money, and we couldn't very well say, well, we don't know about this. And we didn't think too much about it, and she arrived. Well, when she arrived, you don't have to have very much discerning of spirits to know that there's something very wrong. She came in with a purple turban around her head, and she had long hair clear down, way down. And we didn't pay too much attention. She didn't prophesy anything in here at all. But she got a group together, and she told them, if you'll come down to the lake, I'm going to wash your feet and dry your feet with my hair and give you a word. Well, Brother Jack, what do you think about that? There was about 15 people went down there. And it was all done and over with before we ever knew about it, because we were having a service up here. We have to be very careful about who we allow to prophesy over us. They might prophesy over it, but you don't have to receive it. You better pray about it, especially about people telling you who to marry and what. There's a lot of that in the body of Christ. Well, I'm off on a rabbit trail here, but we must go on.
That's an abomination.
It is an abomination. It is an abomination, and you need to be very careful. A lot of people who come into Pentecost and come into the charismatic movement and into the move of God, they think that everybody that stands up and says, Lord, Lord, is right. And they're innocent. And it is these innocent people that are beguiled because they think everybody is perfect. And I learned living in the parsonage when I was a girl that there was a lot of things that went on that was pretty strange, but I never attributed it to the enemy, but it was the enemy. Okay, let's go on. Shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth? For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. This is the remnant. We're going to get rid of all of our iniquity. We're going to get rid of all of our lying. We're going to get rid of all deceitfulness. And we're going to lie down and rest. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Now we're saying, why do we need deliverance? Well, let's just turn back just a little bit to Obadiah. It's just before Jonah. How many believe we're going to Zion? How many really believe we're going to Zion? Well, everyone who doesn't like deliverance will not be welcome in Zion. They will not be welcome. On the 17th verse, first chapter, only chapter of Obadiah. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. So we better be getting used to deliverance. We're marching up to Zion, and there shall be holiness. How many believe in holiness? Sometimes we wonder, you know, if anybody believes in holiness. 17th verse of Obadiah. There's going to be holiness in Zion. Now look at the 21st verse. And saviors, that should be deliverers. If you can't stand to think about saviors, we're not putting down Jesus. He is our Savior. But there's going to be deliverers shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, the flesh, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now, let's go to Matthew 24 and see where we are. Matthew 24. This is Jesus telling his disciples what things are going to happen and what will be the sign of his coming and of the end of the world. Fourth verse. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. Now, that's a direct command of Jesus, isn't it? That you don't be deceived. Now, if you feel that little inner voice down in there saying there's something wrong, you better listen to that. They may seem all so good. They may seem all so fine. You may think, oh, these people are wonderful, but down inside this little bell is silently going off. Huh? Oh, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong. You may not know what is wrong. I remember we had some friends in California. We lived there so long, and they said, oh, Glenn and Irma, you've got to go with us and hear this man. Once you hear him, you won't want to hear anybody else. They said, bring your tape recorder, get his tapes. Oh, they're just wonderful. So we packed up in the car and we went over to the meeting. We walked in and sat down, and they sang choruses. He played a guitar and sang beautiful choruses, just like we all sing. And when he opened his Bible and began to read, I just happened to be looking at him, and his tongue came out like a viper and went like this, just like a viper's fang. And I thought, now, Lord, what are you trying to... This man's supposed to be so wonderful. What are you trying to show me? So he showed it to me again. That man opened his mouth. His tongue came out just like a fang. Well, I sat there wondering what is wrong with this person that's supposed to be so wonderful. And when he began to preach for a little while, he said, now, I got thrown out of the assemblies. So I was pretty upset. So I went to a spiritualist and a Christian spiritualist. Christian spiritualists. Well, they call themselves Christians. They use a few scriptures, you know. And he said, she put me into a trance and carried me back to my former life. In fact, I was back when they were crucifying Jesus. And I thought, how can our friends that I thought was so spiritual, how can they go for something like this? And he said, I was there when they crucified Jesus, and when they were all, I was up there using my fist at Jesus and calling him bad names. But when they pierced his side, I ran up and punched my hand in his side, and then I ran to the back and jumped over the wall, and then I was found myself in, what was he next? I don't know. He was a pope one time in one life and brought off. And I sat there in total dismay. Well, I'm not one to keep quiet about certain things. I can be nice, but sometimes. But I wasn't very nice. I put up my hand and I said, sir, may I ask you a question? I said, if you've got the Holy Ghost, why would you want to go to a spiritualist to find out about what to do since you are not preaching in the assemblies anymore? Well, he didn't have, but my friend said, well, you don't understand. You just don't understand. Well, I'm telling you, they are shipwrecked today. Yeah, you're not ready for this. This is too spiritual for you. Well, it might have been too spiritual. I didn't argue with them. I just said it isn't right. This is not right. and we would not go back anymore. And those other two that were the, I thought they were the most spiritual people that I had ever met. Play the piano, prophesy, and yet they got beguiled by this man. I'll just never understand it. I'll just never understand that. We do not need to be beguiled. We must be careful. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. That can read, I am anointed. They were telling me how anointed this man was. Well, he was anointed by the enemy, that's for sure. Well, I've been at Lockheed when President Gross would get up and selling bonds during the war, and he'd be anointed. He'd be anointed to get us all revved up to buy a bond, you know. So there's lots of kinds of anointings, but we want the anointing of the Holy Ghost and fire. We don't need any of these other kinds of anointings. So it might be better not to get up and say, I'm anointed. Let the people judge if you are or not. And they shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. We know that that's going on. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, this has been going on, I think, since 1941. We have had a war going constantly. Wars all over. For nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. We have more famines in this decade, in this year of 1990. We have floods that's taken all the crops in Texas. We have floods that have killed the cattle in Texas, drowned them. We have droughts in Nebraska and up in there that the wheat is nothing. We have floods in Arkansas that has thwarted the growth of the crops. And earthquakes in divers places, pestilence. I've got this little thing. I got it from Mrs. Lindsay. I don't know how many saw that about the earthquakes. Yeah. Wasn't that something? In the decade, any earthquake that's over 6 points, well, I'll tell you, we've been in one, and it'll throw you to the ceiling, a 6-point earthquake. In the decade of 1880 to 90, there's only one. In the next decade, there was one. Then there was three in the next decade, and then two. Now, these are all strong earthquakes. A little tremor, they're not counting. Anything, well, five is hard. It's one that I would run out of the house when we'd have them. In 1940, 30 to 40, there was five earthquakes. And then it went up to nine in the 50s. Up to 13 in the 60s, up to 46 in the 70s. These are all strong earthquakes now. And in the 1980 to 1990, 53 earthquakes. And look at the ones we've already had this year. Now that's fulfillment of prophecy. This is fulfillment of prophecy, of what Jesus said was going to happen. And pestilence, there is a bug here in Arkansas for everything. I've never seen so many bugs, and they have so many sprays that's killing people, and it's all in the, and then here's the key verse, and these are the beginning of sorrows, or in other words, this is the beginning of birth pains. We are coming into the travail. The whole creation is travailing, aren't they? They're waiting for us. They're waiting for us to deliver them, and here we're sitting around arguing and wondering if we really believe in deliverance, you know? Help us, Lord, is right. Then we don't want to hear this. They'll deliver us up to be afflicted and kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended and betray one another and shall hate one another. Well, I think we're living in the last days, and we're living, and the Lord is getting his army ready, don't you?
Amen.
He is getting his army ready, and he's cleaning all of us up. And how many want to be changed this afternoon? This is a deliverance service. I know that it's very hard for some of you. It's hard on the flesh. It's hard on my flesh. But when you're in, you men don't know anything about this much, but when you're in a delivery room and in having labor pains, there's all kinds of things that's not too pretty. And yesterday afternoon, I know some people came in right at the height of that deliverance service, and Brother Moody was calling out various things, and you know the word, it says, but how many are believers here? Everybody's believers? It says believers will cast out devils. Doesn't it? Is that in the Bible? The word cast out, I looked it up and it says to vomit. First meaning, to vomit, to give a quick jerk and breathe out. Well, we've got all this corruption in us that has to come out. Well, you can breathe it out, but sometimes you vomit it out. And that's not going to hurt you because you're going to be all the better when you get through with that ordeal. So don't get too upset over what you see and don't turn it off and say, I don't want any part of that, because you might have to do it down in the center of the congregation of the righteous one day. You know, the enemy is going to attack every little thing that's in us that is subversive to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to try to thwart us and do everything he can, but Jesus Christ is more powerful in us. But we have to seek deliverance. We have to ask him to deliver us. We have to pray for it. You know, and the more honest you are, the more quickly they're going to come out without all this fuss. And they'll be glad to go when they feel the blood of Jesus flowing down over them. They don't want that. But our main reason that we have these things is because we have sinned, or our forefathers have sinned. You know, we heard all that yesterday and day before. Glenn taught on the curses and the sins of our forefathers. And why would Joel say that in the last days the Lord is going to cleanse our blood that has not been cleansed? Why do you think he's saying that? We are in the last days, and it's in our bloodline that a lot of things we haven't even done, that our sins and iniquities of our forefathers have been visited down upon us. And I wasn't taught that. I didn't start hearing this teaching till about 1965, 1966. The first time I heard it, I believed it, but it frightened me. First time Glenn heard it, he thought it was all right for those who needed it, but he didn't think. He thought everything was under the blood and everything was taken care of. Well, I always say I live with him and I knew better, but I kept seeking deliverance. I kept seeking it and seeking it and seeking it and asking the Lord, and I would cry out the Lord's Prayer, deliver me, Lord, from all evil. Deliver me, Lord, from all evil. Well, I'm far from all delivered, but I'm sure a lot better than I was in 1965 and 66 and 67 when we first came into this. And so I would ask the Lord, and he would show me. I'd say, turn the light on me, Lord. Show me what's in my heart. And he'd show me things that I just hate to think about. Oh, I'd shut my eyes and shiver. But I'd start repenting. And I'd say, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. And a lot of things was in me that I had not, I'd done plenty. But, you know, preacher's kids were always not persecuted, were blasted usually by the congregation. But I had done plenty, but there were some things that I had not done and never realized that it was even in me. And I remember when Brother Prince came to our house and stayed 10 days, one day he said to me, Irma, you and Glenn are both under the power of a fortune teller. Well, if that doesn't make you shiver, it wouldn't me now, but it sure did then, especially when he says it. How many have ever been under his ministry? He's a Cambridge PhD, and he says it right to the point. You understand it when he gets through telling you. I said, You're under the power of this fortune teller. I said, well, I've never been to a fortune teller. I don't want to be under that power. And Glenn said he'd never been to one. And we were kind of astounded. He had done some other teaching about reading a horoscope. I'd done that. I'd never seen a Ouija board. I hadn't done that. I had handwriting analysis done at the fair once. I didn't know that was wrong. I had that in my desk drawer. And one day I walked in the office back in our house in California when we were getting ready to move, and something struck me right in the head like that. I said, oh, Glenn, what's in here? And he said, here it is. And that old handwriting analysis that I had done at the fair years ago was in that desk drawer, and it was attacking me. Can you believe that? It was attacking me. Well, anyway, Brother Prince told me, he said, I need to pray for you and Glenn. So he prayed for me first. And when he prayed for me, this tent-like thing lifted off of me. It was real. I mean, I could feel it lift off of me. I could. I'd been in a haze all my life and in a daze. And I could actually hear him talking better. And I've always had good hearing, thank the Lord. I could see better. I was like in a some kind of a film of darkness over me. So it lifted off of me, and oh, I felt so good. Then he prayed for Glenn, and another tent lifted off of me, and I thought, boy, this is real. I wonder what in the world, where this is coming from. Well, about two or three days later, my husband's mother came over, and I said, you know, Brother Prince told Glenn he was under the power of fortune teller. Oh, my man. Now, she is an old-time Pentecostal, lives on the Assembly of God grounds in Illinois, 89 years old, sits on the front seat, hallelujah, praise God all the time, good Christian woman. And when I told her that, I said, do you know anybody in your family that's been to a fortune teller? She said, oh, yes, I have when I was 17 years old. I said, did you know Brother Prince picked that up on Glenn? And I was just, you know, I was amazed. And she hit the ceiling. She started screeching, everything's in the blood, everything's in the blood, everything's in the blood. And I was so startled that the tent came right down over me again. I had no idea how to keep it off. I knew it when I felt it when it came on me. So when Glenn came home that night, I told him, and he prayed for me, and he said, now don't let that come back on you anymore. Then, 6 months later, we go to visit my parents in the Middle West, whole family reunion. And you've heard, some of you have heard this, some of you haven't. He's having a big family dinner. Cousins, aunts, uncles, my brother and his wife and children and our children, right in the middle of the dinner. I didn't even think this, never thought about it, and all of a sudden, right out of my mouth, has anybody here in this family been to a fortune teller? And my mother said, oh, I have, when I was 17 years old, same year that my husband's mother had been to one. And when I said, Brother Prince picked that up on me and said I was under the power from a fortune teller, she did the very same thing and said the very same thing. That was the first reality that I realized that an evil spirit could talk out of our family and even could talk out of me if he decided to. And that startled me. Well, the whole table went berserk. Everybody was trying to talk. And my dad finally got up and said, shut up, everybody. Be quiet. Now, let's talk about this. He said, maybe this does have some credence. He said, I had a Ouija board when we were kids. We had one. I had never seen one, so I wasn't guilty of that. But you see, that was carried down in my bloodline, and it was visited down on me from generations back. I had no idea what scripture it was. And my mother then further said, don't you remember your grandmother going to fortune tellers? I said, no. And don't you remember your great-grandparents when they came from Germany? They read palms and tea leaves? No, I don't remember that. I remember my great-grandparents, but I didn't remember that. You see, I was getting it from four generations, see? Now let's go to the scripture about that. Exodus 20. See where we're coming from. Now we had all this yesterday and day before, Glenn and Brother Moody, and maybe Reggie did too, how these things are visited down on us through our bloodline. Exodus 20, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You believe that we've been brought out of the house of sin, out of Egypt? We're all in this category. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image or any likeness, and so on and so forth. Fifth verse, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. These are the idols. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. Well, my grandparents were not Christians. My great-grandparents were not Christians. I mean, we never went to church. I never went to church in my life till my grandfather died. We might have had a family Bible. I think we did. We used to get it down, look at the pictures sometimes. But all these things were visited down on us. And then there's another place, I won't go into this, but I was cursed with a curse. Glenn was cursed with a curse. And these generations, four generations is 160 years. Well, do you know if your grandparents partook of anything in the occult or in the divination area for 160 years back? See, we're carrying that in our bloodline. And you say, well, what does that matter? It matters a lot. I am convinced, and you don't have to believe this, but I am literally convinced that this witchcraft divination spirit is the main cause of sickness and cancer. The more we pray for people, the more I see that it is this spirit that's in our blood that's causing sickness and disease. Now, I can't prove that necessarily, but we have seen it time and time again. We've had people healed of cancer, and they have had abominable things in their house, and they are living under a curse that they didn't even know they were living under a curse. And they have consulted with Ouija boards. They have played all kinds of games, table tipping. And now the greatest thing now is Dungeons and Dragons, and that is a very demonic game if your children have that. All the Nintendo games, the further up you buy, the further you get into it, it's very demonic. Water witching and divining for water. I watch my dad and my uncle and different people water witch for water all the time. You say, well, it's real. Of course it's real, but it's satanic. All of these are ancient occult practices. If you've ever been to a medium or to a psychic or to a seance, lots of people come and tell us they've been to seances. There's lots of people here that come and told me they'd gone to seances. And you know, at a seance, we had a man living here, he's now passed away, but he used to go to seances. He was somewhat of a, I guess you'd call a warlock years ago before he got saved. He said they would all sit in a circle with their eyes closed, with their arms out like this, hands open. And they would wait till a token was put in their hand. And then whoever got the token would be the witch or warlock or whoever that was going to perform the ceremony that night and have the devil talk to them and bring up all kinds of weird things.
Somebody wonders what a token is.
A token would be, sometimes it would be a pearl, sometimes it would be a ring, sometimes it would be a piece of gold nugget, or it would be some kind of a jewel, all kinds of things like that. And he had a whole box of tokens. And the first night he ever came here, we were talking about the occult, how dangerous it was. And on the way home, he said, I believe we ought to throw away our Ouija board and our tokens, told his wife. So that was Saturday night he was here. On Sunday morning, they burnt the Ouija board and went down by the lake. And, he himself, the tokens would not burn, so he took them and threw them over Carpenter Dam. And when he did, his car exploded and burned up. Well, that afternoon his wife called. She says, boy, girl, are you in trouble? I said, what do you mean? And so she told me what had happened. She said, we don't have money for another car. I said, oh, my. But you see, he was so deep in it, it was so black. The darkness in him was so dark that enemy was so mad and so angry that he was denouncing all this. And we need to denounce all this. This automatic handwriting, how many have ever seen anything like that? I saw it in California in the prayer group. This girl has. This girl would just hold her hand out and get a piece of paper and just sit in sort of a meditation stupor, and her hand began, an unseen hand would take a hold of her hand and begin to move it, and she would write. And it would be in a language she didn't know. And it would be, she showed it to me once. Beautiful page. I was so stupid, I didn't know what to say. I didn't understand this at the time. And she'd say, how this, and she seemed like a nice Christian girl going to this prayer group, but it wasn't very long after that she got a divorce. This kind of stuff is what is bringing on divorces. How many people have divorces in their family line? It's just more prevalent all the time. They get married. Before they send out the thank you gifts for the gifts, they're getting a divorce. I've never seen anything like it. It is so bad. And I mean, we've got to face it as Christians. It's not just in the world. It's in the Christian realm, in ministries and in leaders. Somebody said, well, the Lord told me to leave my husband, or the Lord told me to leave my wife. You know how I answer that? I look them straight in the face and I say, what Lord? What Lord? Not the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never tell you to leave your mate. He doesn't believe in divorce. All kinds of levitation of tables. Albie Pearson told us one day that he was ministering to a bunch of hippies out in Apple Valley. Albie Pearson is the Angels ball player, used to be. And he said, he called a meeting and these fellows said, now you show us your God and his power and we'll show you our God and his power. So Albie said, okay, you go first. And it was out at Dale Evans and Roy Rogers clubhouse meeting room. And there was a big free-form sort of ashtray, very heavy crystal. All they did was just stand and look at that. And it raised right off of the table and went across in thin air and sat down on another table. That so devastated Albie Pearson that he just left the meeting. It frightened him so bad. Now, that's evil power. That is strong evil power. And these young people that have been on drugs, they know about all this evil power. They've given themselves over to Satan. But a lot of them have gotten saved, but they need help. But all of us need help before we can help them. Albie was not able. He's a good Christian, spirit-filled, but he was not able to help them. He came running down to our house the next day in Northridge, and he said, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. So we all got out our Bibles and we began to study and to pray with him. Because we're going to face things that we've never faced before. It's been about 2 years ago that they called a college girl getting her PhD in engineering. Very intelligent. Every summer she worked at the Pentagon. They called and they wanted to bring her here. They said that she was doing all kinds of strange things at the college. And she liked to go out and kill rabbits or dogs or cats and drink their blood. She was the most beautiful girl. Well, I said, well, you know, I never want to face these things. I said, well, bring her up and we will pray. Come Saturday. So I was uptown when they came. When I walked in, she was sitting back there in a chair or something. She jumped up and ran and got under the piano. Here this girl is, very intelligent, and that's a pretty weird thing to do. And she would not come out. She would not come out for a long time. I finally came up and I talked to her and I said, I'm not going to hurt you. We're going to pray for you a little later. She wanted prayer and she wanted help, but you see, this thing took her over. She was possessed almost. And we prayed for her. She knocked a few chairs down. I think she may have knocked some of the men around. These things are powerful, but they're powerful in us when they want to operate. Satan is watching all of us. He is studying us and any little thing that he can get. He won't do anything until he can get us really some place where he can really embarrass Jesus. That's what he's after. And you don't think that these ministers, that he couldn't have done something to them long before it all came out. But he waited until they got such a following. And all the time he was studying them. He was watching them. He was looking at them and getting them to sin. He wants to embarrass Jesus. That's why we need to get every little thing turned over. You think a demon is behind every rock? Yes, probably about a dozen. I mean, we've got to face the facts, Christians. We have to face the facts. We've had these things in us. Maybe we haven't done any of these things, but maybe our fathers or grandfathers, maybe they committed incest. That's a 10-generation curse. That's where all these sexual sins are coming from. Curse of the bastard. That's a 10-generation curse. That's how many years is that? 400 years ago. That's in our bloodline. And these sexual spirits are coming out. Here's another one that is really bad, is the Lamaze method of having children, having babies. I could not understand why all the Spirit-filled girls around in this town, they didn't necessarily come here to the church, but they'd come to camp meetings, and when they would have babies, we'd get a call, and they'd say, well, something was wrong with our baby. One little girl's eyelid wouldn't open. It hung down. Another little girl had a hole in her heart, another baby. Another one had the cord wrapped around her neck. Another one had bladder and kidney infection from the day she was born. All these things, and I couldn't figure out. And they'd tell me they were having their babies by Lamaze, and I didn't understand what Lamaze was. If we had it in California 16 years ago, I never knew what it was. But finally, I prayed. I would pray. You see, I don't like to talk about things if I haven't experienced it or if I don't understand it, because I know somebody will nail you. So I kept praying and asking the Lord, now what in the world is wrong with this Lamaze? I know there's something wrong with it. And finally I got an autobiography of Lamaze himself. I tried to buy the Lamaze book that they give to the girls, and they are all told, don't let anybody see this because they don't want it passed around. It cost $35 a few years ago. I don't know what it costs now. And the doctors all love it. And the nurses. When I wrote that article in the magazine, I got all kinds of flack. From doctors, wives, and from nurses. They said, why, we don't have to work half as hard as we used to. This doctor's wife, she said, why, my husband don't hardly do a thing now. He just runs in at the last minute and cuts the cord. That Lamaze is the most wonderful thing because the husband or the coach is delivering the babies. I found out that Lamaze practiced hypnosis, mind control, believed in Darwinism, and all kinds of other things. All kinds of mind over matter. And these girls that I have talked to, and I've talked to several, they had a round dot on the wall, and they had to concentrate on that dot all the time. Well, if they get their mind on their pain, the husband would have to say, look at that dot, watch that or something, and, you know, get her mind off of it. And the minute we found out exactly what it was, then we started to pray for the children that was born with that method. Why, they'd be so hyper, they'd come in here, and during a meeting, they'd be turning over a chair, crying. One little boy cried all the time, every day. And I went to the mother finally, and I said, did you have this child by Lamaze? He was about 4 years old, cute little thing, but he wouldn't cry in between services. He'd cry just during the meeting when they started to preach or sing. She said, yes. And I said, you know, I explained it to her, and I said, would you like him prayed for? And she said, yes. So Glenn and some of the fellows and I prayed, and that child turned into like a little angel. Just sat down and behaved. It's real, people. This is real. And we've got to watch every little thing because it's coming in every direction at God's people. And unless we understand, and we don't understand half what the enemy's wiles are, those are his tactics. We don't understand praying to dead saints. If you've been a Catholic and you've prayed to Mary or to dead saints, that's necromancing, and we don't have to pray to something dead. We pray to something live, don't we? Jesus is alive. Jesus came forth. All kinds of metaphysics and handwriting analysis is not good. Should not do it. Now, there's a lady here that told me she was in the Edgar Casey Society. Now, his books and Jean Dixon's books and Unity books and Reincarnation books and Mormon books and Christian Science books and Eternal Security Doctrine and Unitarians and Theosophy, Inner Peace Movement, Zen Buddhism, the Masons. I've got a story about the Masons. One day we first moved here and a man called and he said, we didn't have this built yet. He said, I'd like to come and be delivered from the Masonic organization. So I said, okay, come over about 2 o'clock. We started to pray, I think Kevin and Glenn and I. And when we started to pray, my throat was like I was being throttled. I couldn't talk. I was coughing. And I said, pray for me, pray for me. Now, my grandfather was a Mason. My daddy wasn't, but my grandfather was. I didn't know anything was wrong with it. But when I was a little girl, I used to go to their grocery store, and they had a lodge upstairs, and I would go and creep up the stairs. They would not let me go because they said I didn't know the password. I thought, well, if I can find out the password, I could go. So I would creep up those stairs and listen, trying to hear what was going on in that room. And I never realized that just that little inquisitiveness and this handed down to me through my grandparents. And my grandmother was Eastern Star. Another thing is Christian rock or any kind of rock music is bad. It's the beat. It may be good words, but it's the beat. You shouldn't be listening to those things. All of these things are an abomination to God. You know what abomination means? When it's an abomination to God, it makes him want to throw up. It makes him sick to think that his people would do such a thing. But we've done it in ignorance. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, doesn't it? And here's another thing that the occult causes to happen. We're not able to read the Bible or get anything out of it. Now, we had quite a session upstairs about spirit of forgetfulness of reading the Word. And I had that spirit, and I had it big time. And I didn't think when Brother Prince started to pray for me, he just called out, spirit of forgetfulness, first thing. And I thought, boy, that's pretty absurd. He and Mrs. Prince were praying. He said it about three times. The third time he said it, I went like that. And I thought, I was born in Missouri. I have to be seen and shown, I mean. I have to see. I thought, well, must be. He said it about three more times, and right out of my mouth came these words, no, we're not coming out. And it was like I was sitting over there watching this go on. And it wasn't anything I could control. It just came out. And he says, but you have to come out in the name of Jesus. I'm binding you, and I have power and authority over you. And it says, no, we're not coming out. We are locked to her brain, and we are not coming out. How many has ever read down through a whole page of the Bible, and then you stop and you wonder what you've read? Be honest, because honesty is going to get us help here this afternoon. That's coming from the occult. That's coming from the spirit of divination. And we want to read the Bible ever so bad, and there's always something to distract us. And it's coming from that. Well, needless to say, that thing was so strong in me that it threw me around the room. Now, I don't expect that to happen here this afternoon. Nobody has to get delivered like I did, because it was pretty gruesome. And there was nothing I could do about it. It would throw me on the floor, and they'd pick me up and set me back on the chair, and it would argue with them. And there was nothing I could not control. And he finally said to it, in the name of Jesus, I want you to tell me how you work in her. Because I'm telling you, I could remember everything, couldn't I, Glenn? About the world and about people. At the Full Gospel Conventions, I would know everybody, where they came from, what they wore, what their name was, what tapes they bought last year. Everything. I could remember stuff like that. But I could not remember the Bible, because it said, we won't let her remember the Bible. We won't let her remember the Bible. And he said that was the best clue he'd ever had. He said he never had called out the spirit of forgetfulness before. So it argued a while longer, and I always said the first Mrs. Prince, she could get in high gear with tongues, and she began to pray in tongues, and he began to rebuke that thing, and the last thing I remember that he said was, bow to Jesus and come out, and I was on my knees when he said that, and it was coming out. So praise the Lord. You can't cast out demons if you don't know the Word of God, because you cast him out by the blood of the Lamb and the Word of God. Is that right? Is that right, Brother Golden? Yes, it is. He has plenty on the mission field. Now, here's what's going to happen to you if you've been involved in the occult. You will be depressed. A lot of people are depressed some days. They won't get out of bed. They're just too depressed to get up, too depressed to wash their face, and they're always gloomy. And some people are indifference to the things of the Lord, and irresponsible. All kinds of unpredictable behaviors, delusions. There's more people come around here telling me all their delusions and their dreams and all of this. Some of it is of God, but some of it isn't. All uncontrollable passions, all kinds of sexual things that is going on in the body of Christ. All that stuff has to stop in the remnant. Here's a good one. Uncontrollable appetites. That's called gluttony. That's called slow bellies. Overindulgence of food, alcohol, drugs, all kinds of compulsive eating. I see my friend on the back seat smiling, but he's not fat. Well, I mean, that's one of the attributes of this divination. We've got to face it. There's more diets out. There's more diet foods out. And none of them really work, do they? They work for a while, and then they get bigger than ever. Overindulgence. We just have to learn to be temperate in all things. The next thing I'm going to take up is uncontrollable temper, hate, insanity, and mental problems. Now, Satan has dealt me many blows, and when I found out it was him doing it, I was mad at him. I was angry, and I wanted to fight him. I wanted to fight him with the Word of God, and I wanted to fight him with the name of Jesus, and I wanted to fight him with all I had in me, all my might. Because in 1957, I'd been a supervisor at Lockheed Missiles for 5 years, and all of a sudden I had a total mental breakdown. Glenn came home, and I was totally out of my head, acting insane. Not only acting, I was. I didn't know I was, but I was. And they put me in a hospital, gave me 17 shock treatments, and maybe some of you are looking at me like you think I need to be there now, and was there for many weeks. Until finally Glenn called.
They said you were going to stay there.
Well, they told Glenn I was a total vegetable and will never come out of it. Well, sure, they knocked every brain out of my head that I had. And this was coming from way back in my family line of this fortune teller being under this power. Now, you may not believe this, but there's a lot of insanity in the world and a lot of mind problems in the church. But he called the church. Now, we didn't know anything about demons. And he said to the pastor once, he said, you know, I think this might be the devil talking out of her. And they would not believe that because they said, I talked in tongues at church last Sunday or sometime. And anyway, they would not believe it, but they prayed. And Glenn called the church finally after 8 weeks, wasn't it, or so?
3 months.
He called the church. The Lord showed him, he said, that they were to fast and pray. Anybody that would come to the church and fast and pray, that the Lord would heal me. Now, we believe in divine healing. How many believe in divine healing? The devil can deal you a blow, but we still believe in divine healing. And because we didn't believe in we didn't know about the devil in those days, 1957. And they started to pray for me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I'll never forget, I suddenly woke up and I said, I thought I'd been in another car wreck. Satan had dealt me a blow about 5 years or 3 years before. About 3 years before with a terrible car accident and my spleen had been ruptured. And the doctor told me I should have died on the streets. See, I had a curse put on by this grandmother the day I was born. She stomped her feet and wished me dead, wished I would die. Because she didn't want my mother to have a second child. See, that's the reason why I'm so mad at Satan. Do you blame me for being mad? I'm angry with him. To think he not only did a good number on me, but he does it on a lot of people. So, anyway, I woke up and I said to the girl in the bed next to me, I took one look at her, and I said, have I been in another car wreck? And she said, no, you're tired. I said, but I'm not tired. I got out of bed, walked in the bathroom. My hair was out like Phyllis Diller's. I took a look at a few people walking around, and I thought, where in the world? What is the matter with me? I washed my hair immediately and put it up in curlers. My curlers were there. And that's the first time I had acted like I had any sense, I guess, in weeks. And I came out again, and I kept asking that girl, well, where's my husband and my children? And they said, oh, he'll be here Saturday. And I just couldn't fathom. The more I looked around, the more I was wondering. I was in total consternation, and I could not believe what I was seeing, and I could not believe that the powerful Irma Miller, supervisor of Lockheed Missiles, was in a place like this, and I didn't know what was coming off. He came after me on Saturday, and I went home, and I never had to go back.
I was just allowed to take you out for a walk.
But he never took me back.
Instead of the walk, I took her home and never went back.
Never went back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God for that. It got through that one. All kinds of, suicide. The first time I heard a demon talk in Chicago at a full gospel convention, I ran upstairs. This was the first time I'd ever heard one talk, and it really frightened me. I ran upstairs, took a tranquilizer, jumped in bed, covered up my head, and I was already a grandmother, and I was so scared, but I heard a voice right in my ear say, now you've gotten into false doctrine. That was the old time teaching in early Pentecost. You're going to get in false doctrine.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.